Hello everyone, welcome to MRDev Day's session. In this session, we're going to do a deep dive into some of the most important MRTK's UX building blocks that help you build great mixed reality experiences. My name is Yoon Park, UX designer at Microsoft's mixed reality design team. My main focus area is developers' ecosystem experiences, especially UX building blocks for MRTK and related examples and sample apps and the documentations. So my original background, my major was electrical engineering and the software, but I went back to school to study graphic design. So I changed my career and joined Microsoft as a UX designer back in 2011. And I have been working on some of the Windows default apps such as sports and money, and then joined mixed reality design team back in 2016. So because of this, my mixed background in engineering design, I have been personally creating apps for HoloLens. And personally, I'm very into typography. So I have been playing with the type in the physical space. So these are some of the explorations that I did for HoloLens, displaying the text in the physical space as well as in the virtual space. And this is one of my recent projects called Type in Space. So originally I built this project for HoloLens first generation with the Holo toolkit, but for HoloLens 2 I started from scratch and created a new project. And through this journey I was really excited and happy with the fact that MRTK provides lots of great common UX patterns and the building blocks. So it was relatively easy to build these experiences. I was able to build quickly and easily compared to old Holo toolkit. I was able to achieve this kind of spatial near interaction and far interaction UI, and manipulating object and interacting with a spatial mesh. So it's a pretty amazing journey for me as a designer working on mixed reality. And this is another project, recent project, visualizing the COVID-19 public data in the volumetric space. So in this project, I'm experimenting with the data visualization with hand tracking. So you can manipulate this globe with your hand tracking input directly. And so I have been exploring how the volumetric data can be represented in the physical space. So I have published this project on GitHub, so you can check it out. It also works on first generation of HoloLens as well as Windows Mixed Reality VR headset. So to share this journey, my experience in design and development, I have been writing the stories on Medium. So you can search my project Type in Space and other Windows Mixed Reality projects. MRTK provides foundational components and building blocks for the common spatial interactions and the UI. And one of the most exciting features in HoloLens 2 is this instinctual interactions using articulated hand tracking. So you can directly press, touch, grab, and interact with the holograms. And MRTK provides answers for these common mixed reality UX needs, such as grabbing and moving object, or resizing object, adding visual feedback, or make an object follow you. And through these MRTK's building blocks, you can achieve these common interaction patterns for mixed reality and easily build great mixed reality experiences. So because of the limited time, we cannot cover all of these components today, but I'm going to pick up some of the most important components for building mixed reality. So if you look at the structure of the MRTK folder, under SDK folder, you're going to find all the core scripts, prefabs, and the foundational components. And Under examples folder, you can find example scenes that demonstrates how to use those building blocks. In upcoming release, this folder name will be changed from Mixed Reality Toolkit to MRTK with a more shorter name. And there's something called Toolbox on the Mixed Reality Toolkit menu. If you use this, you can easily find available UI components in MRTK, just like a library. So you can visually find and simply click to add to your scene. You can even use search box and type in a specific name of the controls. And hand interaction example scene is one of the most useful example scene in MRTK. You can see various types of UI components and interactions, as you can play with the hand tracking simulation or gaze input, as well as motion controller in VR headset. So let's get started with interactable. So since holographic objects are mixed with physical objects in the environment, it is quite important to provide proper visual feedback. And using interactable, you can easily add visual feedback to any objects. So for example, for farm interactions, we'd like to visualize the targeted states and pressed states using the color change or size change. And for linear interactions, we can consider like an effect for hover, then touch and press and grab states. The interactable script provides easy way to do that. So on any object, you can assign this interactable script and add something called a theme that provides these kind of visual states. From there, you can select different types of theme, then event receiver to receive the event. Then interactable also provides some additional interaction states, such as physical touch and grab. So you can use that by assigning this focus, press, touch, grab states in this states section. And on a single object, you can use multiple themes to kind of visualize and control different parts of the objects. So for example, if you look at this button has this backplate, front plate, CSA label, and icon, then we are using this interactable themes to control these various types of objects. And interactable has these useful options. So for example, if you want to make an object respond to the events as a global event, then you can check this is global checkbox. And you can also easily assign a speech command using this dropdown. This will display all the speech command that you defined in the MRTK's speech input profile. Then, yeah, you can also make an object respond to the speech command without focus if you uncheck this require focus. Then there's a selection mode, so you can use it as a simple button or toggle button or as a multi-dimension button. Then you can use this is toggled state to access this toggle state. And interactable provides various types of themes and is quite powerful. So you can change the color or size and offset. You can also even control the properties of the shader. So for example, I have created these two cubes. Just simple unity cube, and I'm renaming as a backplate and front plate. I just assign the interactable script to the parent, and I'm creating a new theme for backplate theme, and I just assign the scale offset color theme. Then I can assign different color and scale and offset for these different types of interaction states. Then I'm adding another theme called front plate theme. Then in this case, I want to control the shader property. So I'm assigning one of the MRTK material, and it has this property called border light. So one of the properties of MRTK standard shader. And based on interaction states, I'm modifying the value of this border light width. Then as you can see, based on interaction states, it changed the color of the backplate, and also they changed the thickness of the border, front plate border. And I can also play with the scale, as you can see. So on hover state, press state, you can easily achieve this kind of visual feedback. So without a single line of code. So you can find the examples in the interactable examples scene. So next topic is the button. So button is one of the most important and basic UI component in mixed reality. And in HoloLens 2, as you can see now with that hand tracking input, you can directly interact with the buttons. So you can press, directly press, touch. And since there is no physical feedback in the mixed reality, it is crucial to provide visual and audio feedback to increase the user's interaction confidence. So for example, we have a proximity light based on the proximity to your fingertip to the surface of the button. Then we have a focus highlight and compressing case when you press a button. And there's also pulse effect when you press the button to indicate the trigger of the event. And the button in HoloLens 2, initially we thought it would be quite simple and the baseline UI, but it turned out to be one of the most complex ones because you have to calculate, you know, the speed of the fingertip and trajectory, and also you have to prevent the back pressing when the finger is coming back from the backside. There are a ton of edge cases, and then if you use this MRT case HoloLens to press a button, you're gonna get all of those complex logics for free. So we spent a ton of time to make this button feel right. It contains all of these details and visual effect. So if you look at this HoloLens 2 pressable button, it has a back plate and front plate with a highlight plate, and there's an icon and text. And if you look at the script, if you look at the left side, there's a pressable button HoloLens 2 script. Essentially, this pressable button script handles all of these near interaction, direct touch and press. So as you can see, it has several events like a touch begin, touch end, press, pressed and released. Then a script called physical press event router in the center that kind of passes this events to the interactable script on the right side. So eventually, so interactable handles both far interaction and the near interaction using this event. So if you want to make an object handle both near and far interaction, such as direct touch or using the hand ray or gaze input, then you can use this onClick event under interactable script. And of course, for near interaction, this pressable button also has this near interaction touchable script in the center. So pressable button provides various types of configuration options. So for example, in the press settings, so you can adjust this distance for the detailed events. So for example, when to start push, when to stop push, and when to release, those kind of stuffs. And you can also specify the moving object when the button is pressed. You can assign audio feedback, and through the MRTK standard shader, you can also use these various types of visual effect like near fade or proximity light and border light. And recently we have added this utility script called button config helper. So using this, you can easily change the icon and text of this button. And this button config helper supports quad and sprite and the font for the icon clips. And if you want to use the font, as an icon clip, you can take a look at this HoloLens MDL2 icon font file under Windows font folder. That font file contains various types of HoloLens icon clips. So if you import this font file into Unity, then use TextMask Pro's font asset creator, so you can generate this TextMask Pro SDF texture, then you can use it in the HoloLens 2 button as an icon. So in this process, you're going to need this Unicode, and you can find this Unicode text under our MRTK's button documentation. And so next topic is how to customize the button. So to customize the button or the size, so you need to look into several objects. So first object you need to adjust is this front plate. So if you look at the default size, the default size of the button is 3.2 millimeters, so 0.032 in Unity unit. So this is the default button size based on our user research and prototypes and testing. Then, so you can modify this scale of this front plate, and also you need to modify this quad on the back plate, because you want to, you know, adjust this visual size of the back plate as well. Then finally, you need to adjust this, the size of the box collider. So if you modify these three components, then if you look into this near interaction touchable script, it will give you this kind of warning signs and with a button called fixed bounds. So if you just simply click this fixed bound, it'll automatically adjust this dimension for you. So yeah, these are kind of four steps to modify and customize the dimension of button. Then you can adjust this content like icon and text. So if you look at the pressable button example scene, you can find various types of button examples. And for toggle buttons, we recently added these new buttons like checkbox and toggle switch and radio buttons. So for these radio buttons, you can use it as a group, so you can make it pressed exclusively. And the structures of toggle button is very similar to HoloLens 2 button, the regular button. Only difference is it has this backplate toggle state that visualizes the toggle state, and the selection mode is as set as toggle. And of course, it has additional themes to support this toggle visual. And one of the most important things in using this toggle button is that you need to add this toggle receiver to use this onSelect and onDeselect events. So through this event, you can access the toggle button states and trigger different actions. And you can use this interactable toggle collection script to create this kind of grouped radio button UI. In terms of button design, we recommend to use the button with a backplate. Transparent or translucent button is not recommended. One of the reasons is, so of course, it's hard to understand and recognize when the button is has a kind of complex background, physical background environment. And another reason is holograms that are visible through this translucent or transparent backplate, that will swim. This is because of this HoloLens 2's depth LSR based stabilization techniques. So for example, if you look at the left side, this UI is covered with an opaque backplate, but on the right side, there's a transparent. So it is not recommended to use this kind of transparent UI backplate. Another useful guideline for multiple buttons, it is recommended to use a shared backplate. That will reduce the visual noise, and also it'll give you a clear grouping of the UI. So this is an example. I have added multiple buttons in the game object, and I use the grid object collection to quickly lay out this button as a grid. But as you can see, it has a individual backplate as a and the border. So I'm gonna disable all the backplate and just enable the backplate in the center. And I'm gonna adjust the size. I just added multiplied by 5, so I stretch the width of the backplate. This in this example too, I only activate the center plate, and I'm multiplying by 3 for both X and Y. Then it'll grow up and have a display this kind of nice shared backplate for all these buttons. So it really kind of reduces the visual noise. And this is a one example from my personal project. So as you can see, I have a two groups of buttons with kind of this shared backplate. So it really kind of shows this kind of grouping visually. So to create a button from scratch, you can create a Unity cube, for example, then add this pressable button script, and we need a near interaction touchable script for near interaction. Then you can adjust this press settings, the distances for start push distance and max push distance and press and release distance. Then you can play with the button. So this is an example. I have a cube and just assign the pressable button script. And I'm adding this near interaction touchable script. And I just assigned -1 for Z to make it look forward to face the user. Then I'm adjusting this distance. So you can use this editor's gizmo to adjust this distance. So as you can see, in this case, I want to press the button almost half of the size. So as you can see, when I press it, it moves back until it reaches the distance that I just specified before. And of course, from here, you can easily add visual feedback by using MRTK's standard shader material. So for example, this MRTK standard cyan material, and I'm checking this proximity light, and that will give me this proximity light effect based on the distance to my fingertip. And there's another important element in this near interaction, something called fingertip cursor. So this fingertip cursor helps the user better understand the distance from the fingertip to the target surface. So you can understand where the finger is positioning. It's essentially the same idea that in the physical space, you're kind of pressing through the air. So it is sometimes hard to understand when exactly you are touching the surface of the hologram. So this finger cursor really helps you understand and interact with the objects. So this is an example in HoloLens shell. When you press a button, you can see the cursor changes the size based on the distance to the target surface. So if you are interested in the details, you can look at take a look at this finger cursor, the prefab, and inside there you can adjust the details, the visuals, and you can also even customize the color of this proximity light. Next building block is bounding box. The bounding box is the standard UI for scaling and rotating object in HoloLens. So as you can see, in HoloLens 2, you can directly interact with the gizmos. So you can scale and rotate. And also, of course, you can use a far interaction that we're using hand ray. So using it is quite easy. You just simply need to assign the bounding box script to any object. Then You can specify the various types of details, such as handles, visualization. By default, if you just assign the bounding box script, you're gonna get this blue cubes and wires, which is a HoloLens first generation style. Then if you want to use HoloLens 2 style, you need to assign some additional prefabs and materials for the handles. Then to do that, I would recommend to just copy the style from existing objects. So if you open this bounding box example scene, there are multiple coffee cups. And if you grab the one of the coffee cup on the left side, that has this configured HoloLens 2 style handles. So if you just use this Unity's gear icon and copy component, then go back to your object and paste the component as values or as a new, as an entire script, then you're gonna get all of these prefabs and materials assigned. So bounding box script has various types of options you can configure. So for example, there's an activation mode. I can activate on start or by proximity. And it has these handles options where you can assign the material and prefabs. And there's a section called proximity where you can specify this kind of animated scaling based on the distance to your fingertip. And of course, you can assign this audio feedback to different types of state. And HoloLens 2 bounding box uses this proximity based activation, but if you want to use a more explicit mode, adjust mode, just like a first generation HoloLens, then you can use this app bar control. So to use it, simply drag and drop app bar prefab into the scene, and it has this bounding box field. So here you can drag and drop the target object which has this bounding box, then this app bar will be automatically attached to the target objects. So for example, this is a app bar attached to the target object, then you can use this kind of manual activation. So next topic is manipulation. So direct interaction is one of the most exciting interaction in HoloLens 2. So using MRTK's manipulation handler, so you can easily make an object movable, scalable, and rotatable using one or two-handed. And also it supports both near and far interaction. So as you can see, you can grab and manipulate with one hand, or you can grab it two-hand to rotate and scale. You can also use far hand ray for far interaction. It also supports gaze input from HoloLens 1 as well, and of course the motion controller input from VR. So to use that, you can simply assign this manipulation handler script onto any object, and if you want to support direct interaction, then you need to add this near interaction grabbable script as well. Then you can specify options, and you can also assign specified constraints, like if you want to rotate object about y-axis only, then you can specify that. And under near interaction grabbable, you can check this show tether line to visualize this kind of the grab point and your hand. And to manipulate large objects, sometimes it will be difficult, especially if you're using the bounding box for scaling and rotating. The large models, like our architecture model, it'll be difficult to grab the corner handle that sits far away. Then, in that case, we can use this host transform property of this manipulation handler. So basically, so in this scene, I have a large tree and a small grabber. So in this grabber, I have this manipulation handler script. Then in the host transform, I'm overriding this transform with a tree. So when I grab and manipulate this grab handle, it'll essentially manipulate this target, the tree. object. So coming release update, so manipulation handler script has been refactored. So now with the new release, MRTK release, it'll have this object manipulator script. So this will be more improved and simplified version. And of course, the original manipulation handler script will be there. But yeah, as you can see, it's almost same. It's quite similar, but it has lots of improvement. So one of the most important improvement is, so if you look at the coffee cup on the left, which uses a manipulation handler, it does not collide with the spatial mesh when you grab and move. But the coffee cup on the right side, which uses object manipulator, it properly collides with the spatial mesh when you grab and move. So that's a kind of big difference. So next topic is object collection. So with object collection, you can easily lay out multiple objects in the 3D space. So this is an example of using object collection in our periodic table sample lab. So as you can see, you can easily lay out this kind of multiple array of objects in the 3D space. So using it is quite simple. You just need to assign multiple objects in a container object, then assign discrete object collection script and specify surface type and cell width and height. Then if you click update collection, then it will update the layout. Of course, you can do everything in the code as well. And these are some of the examples of different types of surfaces. So let's take a look at an example. So I have created an empty game object and I'm searching HoloLens 2 button. I just add it and duplicate it, multiple of them. Then in this game object, I'm adding grid object collection script. And from here, I'm specifying width and height. In this case, the button's default size is 3.2 millimeter. Then when I update, then I can easily achieve this kind of nice grid layout for this 3D object. And of course, you can do this kind of the row of a button or more complex layout of this 3D object. So it's a quite convenient and useful utility for this three-dimensional layout. So you can find the examples in the object collection example scene. Next topic is solver. So solvers are the various types of object positioning behaviors. So it has this radial view, for example. So with this, you can easily achieve this kind of tag along behavior. So you can make an object follow you, but with more lazy, loosely coupled behavior. So you can specify the minimum and maximum distance where you can make the object stay between. You can also specify this minimum and maximum view degrees. So where the amount of degrees that triggers this follow motion. And the surface magnetism solver makes it easy to attach this object to the surface. So as you can see, you can easily make an object follow the surface of the spatial mesh. So you can specify the surface, magnetic surface, and you can also specify the orientation mode. And you can also use either gaze or hand ray. So in this example, I'm using the hand ray. And another useful script that recently added is tap to place. So it's quite similar to the surface magnetism, but it has additional logic for placing the objects. So as you can see, when I tap it, the object is placed to the point when I did an air tap. It also supports both gaze and hand ray and other endpoints. So quite useful, simple utility. Then this one is something called constant view size. So basically, it maintains the size of the object regardless of the distance. So as you can see, the menu is I'm doing the near interaction, but when it goes far back, it automatically scales up to maintain its usable size. So I'm still being able to interact with the button without a problem. And another script, another server used in this example is in-between server. So I'm using it to place this menu between me and the target text objects. So as you can see, it always kind of maintains the distance between myself and the target object, the between two objects. And billboard is, this is not technically part of the server, but still it's a quite useful another kind of positioning behavior. So you can assign this billboard script onto any object, then make an object always face you. So in this example, the billboard has been assigned to this tooltip. Then as you move around, as you can see, the label, text label, is always kind of facing me. So using it, using the server is quite easy. You can just assign this any type of server script, then it'll automatically add this additional script called the server handler. So this is the place where you can specify the tracked object. So it could be a headset, or it could be a handray, and other endpoint. So there are several example scenes. There's a surface magnetism servers examples, and general server examples, and there's an example scene for a hand server. So in the server handler, you can specify specific joint of the hand. So next building block is the near menu. So near menu is a simply collection of the UI buttons, and but with the grabbable backplate, and it also uses the radio view server to achieve the tag along behavior. So it kind of stays around with your body, and you can also use this pin button to lock it, word locked, and you can also grab and move the menu. So as you can see, you can grab and move, and it is word locked, and so you can easily interact with the buttons and or UI components. Then if you unpin, it'll follow you using the radio view. So it's nice tag along behavior, and you can always pin it on a specific place. Then you can focus on the target content, then you can come back and you can unlock the menu to make it follow it again. So yeah, if you look at the structure, it's a simply collection of buttons and backplate, and yeah, manipulation handler has been assigned to make it grabbable and movable, and the pin button simply toggles the radio view. So you can find the examples in the near menu examples scene. Next topic is hand menu. So hand menu is one of the most popular interaction patterns in HoloLens 2. So as you can see, you can quickly bring up the menu using your hand and do a quick action, and you can hide it and continue focusing on the content. So hand menu uses hand constraint pop-up script in MRTK. This is another server. It makes it easy to achieve this kind of hand menu behavior. So you can simply assign the target object here in this event. Then if you look at the pop-up section, it has some of the options, such as require a flat hand, which can prevent false activation of the menu. And also it has this follow hand until facing camera option, which can achieve more natural rotation movement when you flip your hand, just like this. So here are some of the design guidelines for the hand menu that we have learned from various types of applications. And of course, the raising an arm and maintaining the position could easily cause arm fatigue. For the small or medium-sized menus, it could be okay for making a hand locked because you're gonna do a quick actions and you can hide it. However, with a hand menu with a more large number of UI or complex menu, it could be tricky because you have to hold and interact with the many UI components. So it is recommended to make it world locked in this case. If you drop your hand, make it world locked and provide a close button to allow the users to close the menu when they want. And of course, also making it grabbable and movable would be also important. So for example, this is a large complex menu, and obviously maintaining the both hand raise up is quite difficult. So definitely there are usability issues. In this case, the menu is automatically world locked when your hand is dropped. Then, with more stable position, you can interact with the UI, and you can also grab and move and reposition. Then you can also use the close button. You can easily hide. Another mechanism is you can manually grab and pull the menu to make it world locked. Just another example of making the menu world locked. Another issue, a common issue we found with the hand menu interaction is this false activation. So especially when you are interacting, manipulating objects, then there are lots of unwanted hand menu activation, just like these pictures. So to prevent that, we also recently added this additional option called gaze activation. So this flat hand required is also a good option, but it didn't prevent that false activation. So this one is the hand menu will be displayed only when the user look at the hand. So it kind of shows the clear user's intention, because if you want to use your hand menu, then you're gonna look at the hand, right? So if you check this user gaze activation, so as you can see, the menu only shows up when you look at your hand. So it's kind of very natural interactions. So you wouldn't actually recognize it. It's a kind of manual additional step. So this is another example. The menu does not show up until you look at your palm. So it's kind of a nice way to prevent this kind of false activation. So you can find these updated hand menu examples in the hand menu examples scene in upcoming release or under MRTK dev branch. So next topic is spatial awareness. So spatial awareness is one of the most exciting features in mixed reality, and you can create compelling interactions between holograms and the real world. So to use it in MRTK, you can simply check this enable spatial awareness system in this MRTK profile. Then you can specify the startup behavior and configure different types of options. And you can also specify this visualization options. Here you can specify the material for the spatial mesh visual. And these are some of the different options of this display option. So first one is visible. So as you can see, spatial mesh is visible and also it occludes the hologram. The second one is occlusion. So it shows the occlusion only, but it does not show the spatial mesh. And the third one is display option is none. So in this case, as you can see, it does not occlude the hologram and it does not show the mesh, but still the object collides with the spatial mesh. So these are some of the differences between the different display options. And MRTK has this pulse shader for spatial mesh. So if you use this shader, you can achieve this kind of pulse style a spatial mesh visualization. So you can find example scenes under spatial awareness mesh demo and the spatial surface magnetism spatial awareness example. So let me close with some of the documentation information. So if you go to MRTK GitHub, there's a menu called Feature Guides. So if you click it, you can see all of these details on the UX building blocks and of course other MRTK's input system and the services. And if you go to Mixed Reality Dev Center, when you go to aka.ms/mr, then you can find these design guidelines. So if you enter I'm a designer section, then you can find this UX elements and controls and behaviors. This is an example of a hand menu design guideline where we share how we experimented and prototyped and all the learnings we got from this journey. We are sharing these through this documentation. And this is a UX building blocks cheat sheet that I created for MRTK. So this is a kind of collection of common, the most widely used component in the typical mixed reality applications. So you can find related prefabs and scripts and the Unity scene, example scenes. So you can download this printable large size file on the GitHub. So thank you very much for joining the session today. I hope you learned some of the useful MRTK's building blocks, and I can't wait to see what you build with these MRTK's building blocks. Thank you.